Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Practice Chats on the Deep Blue Podcast. I'm Cleon Wall. This is where we get to know some of the guys a little bit better after practice. My guest today is Che Bryant Strother. Okay, did I say that right?
Yes, you did. And thanks for having me on here.
So I want you to notice on my thing, I put phonetically how to say your first name. It's spelled C-H-O-E. I want to know how many people mess your first name up on like a daily basis if they don't know you.
It's more of how many people get it right without knowing me. It's probably like two in my whole entire life that have seen the name and said it correctly. And how they said it right, they just, I don't know, they probably know Korean or something like that. But my name is Korean. Yeah. So my grandma's maiden name is Che, and she's full Korean. So my grandma's Korean and my grandpa's black on my dad's side. And then on my mom's side, both those grandparents are white.
That's really interesting. So what do they usually say when they see your name for the first time?
A lot of people just take a quick look and say Chloe, because that's just like the most common name that looks like it. So they'll just say Chloe. And then if people are really looking at it, they'll just say Cho. Yeah.
And how much do you correct them? What's that? Is it just like, hey, I just want to let you know this is how you say my first name?
Most of the time, like 99% of the time, I'll just say like, hey, it's Che. But if it's like a real quick pass by type of situation, then I might not even say anything.
What's it like having a unique name? I mean, my first name is Cleon, so it's a little bit unique. Yeah. So what's it like? I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't like it. As an adult, I like it. What's it like for you?
I am pretty much in the same boat. As a kid, you know, you're always kind of worried about, I wouldn't say fitting in, but kind of like fitting in. And so like the different name is just, it's, especially my name is really different. But as I've grown up, I've really appreciated how unique my name is and like where it comes from and the culture and the stories behind it. So I really like it, actually. Like, I really like my name. Yeah.
How many guys here on the football team know that your brother is an NBA champion?
Everybody who knows, everybody who's a fan of the basketball team, like childhood fans, everybody knows. But anybody who's not like traditionally a BYU fan, they don't know. So I would say like probably half the team, and then the rest of the half is just in the dark. I mean, it's pretty cool that he is, but a lot of people are just kind of don't know.
How often do you get, he's playing overseas. He plays professionally, comes back to the U.S. During the off season. What's your relationship like? How often do you guys contact each other?
At least on a weekly basis. So he's really busy. He's really, like, he lives overseas, but even then, he only is at home overseas. It's probably like 2 days a week, 3 days a week. So, because the EuroLeague is a really big travel organization. So, like, they got a game in Germany, they got a game in Italy, they got a game. So they don't have time to stop by at home. So they just throughout the week they travel a bunch, but I send him texts here and there, watch his games. All his games are online. We can't really get the EuroLeague games on TV because we're in the U.S. Yeah. But we talk often, and I would say our relationship's pretty strong.
He's a basketball player. You're a football player. What happened there? Why choose different sports there?
So as I was growing up, I always played basketball. My older brother was good at basketball. That was my dream sport. Everything about basketball I loved. And then for some reason, he was always probably like taller than everybody. At least when we got to like the high school area, he was taller than everybody and skinnier than everybody. I was the opposite. I was like similar size, maybe a little bigger, but I was just always heavier. So when I was a freshman, I probably weighed 225. And when I was a senior in high school, I got up to like 270. So putting on weight has never been a problem to me. And moving with the weight on me has never been a problem. So I've always just been more built for football than anything else.
Could you take him in anything in basketball? Like whether it's three-point shooting, dribble drills, maybe guarding him on. I mean, is there anything you could do to take him on right now?
My pride wants to say I could out-aggressive him, out-physical him. But he has a good inch and a half on me, and his skill set is just way out of this world. So I want to say he's going to win, but I'm going to make it a good game. I'm going to make him work for it, yeah. Bare minimum.
Okay, now, is there anything that he could beat you at when it comes to football? Like, if he went out for a pass and you were guarding him, would he even come close to getting that?
There's absolutely no area on the field that he would ever beat me. And he would probably disagree. Me and him have this conversation a lot. He thinks basketball players are more built for football than football players are built for basketball. And I honestly disagree. I think the physicality that football players bring, basketball players can't match up with it. And I'm not talking about just blatantly fouling and hacking on the court. Just body on body. A lot of basketball players don't like that physicality. And I don't think he's one of them. He doesn't like that physicality. So I think football players are more built for basketball, and that he could absolutely achieve nothing against me on the field.
So you have Elijah, who's playing professional basketball. You're playing college football. And then you have a younger brother, Kai, I believe. That's how you pronounce his name. He plays basketball, too.
Yes.
So why couldn't you convince him to play football?
I think I'm just kind of the odd man out when it comes to, like, family genetics. He's probably – my little brother's probably, like, 6'4", 205 right now. Yeah. And I'm still 6'3", so he's taller than me, and I've got 7 years of age on him.
Yeah.
And – yeah, my older brother's 6'5", he's 6'4", I'm 6'3", and I have 40 pounds on both of them. So it's, yeah, I'm a little different when it comes to how the genetics came.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can just take him down during Christmas time or anything like that.
That's a plus for sure. They can't, neither one of them could take me in a wrestling match right now.
By the way, what's up next for Kai? I think did he already graduate high school?
Yeah. So he just committed to a small school in Texas. And I think he's just trying to create a name for himself still.
Both you and Elijah started at different universities before coming to BYU. When you left the Greater Atlanta Christian School, why did you choose UCLA? Why was that the perfect fit for you at that time?
Everything, and I mean everything, fit. My coach was LDS. Me and him would go to church together. I'm talking about my position coach at UCLA. We went to church. He were LDS. He was building me up as a man, as a player. He was building me up spiritually. Everything was just amazing. And so 2 years into my career, he left. He got a better opportunity to go to Arizona. And then now he's at UW. So he's kind of moving up the ranks, which I don't blame him. Everybody wants to take the next step up. But at that point, the next guy that came in, I really liked him. But instead of leaving at that time, when you lose your position coach, a lot of dudes just say, like, I'm going to just get out of here. I was so close to graduating at the time that I was just going to stick it out. And then once I finally graduated, I thought it's a good time to take a look and see where I fit better.
And we'll talk about that here in a second. What would you consider your on the field highlight? What's the game or moment you remember the most as a Bruin?
On the field highlight was probably getting a strip sack against South Alabama, but most prominent memory, football memory, was beating LSU. I think it was second week of the season in the Rose Bowl, 100,000 fans. It was an amazing feeling because LSU travels well, so there was a lot of purple and gold in the stadium, and just to hear the silent, because like obviously when we score, it was kind of loud, but when they scored, it was insanely loud. They were traveling well, and when we shut them out, or not shut them out, but shut them down, won the game, and I think they were ranked like 6 or 7 at that time. It was just a great feeling, probably one of the best memories I had, just because I was young. It was a big moment in football for me. All my brothers were on the field. I was just learning at the time. It was a great moment.
What was your big highlight off the field for you, being in Westwood?
Highlight off the field? There's a bunch. There's so many good things about Westwood. It's in such a great place and a great area, and there's so many good people around. I would just say really probably meeting my girlfriend there, because she's actually here now. So she plays soccer here, and me and her met at UCLA. She played soccer at UCLA as well, and that's probably one of the better things outside of football that I was able to, I don't know how to say it, but I guess one of the best experiences, I guess.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say who that soccer player is?
Or? Kinsey Vance. She's number 44. She plays outside forward. Actually, I think she plays midfielder now, but she's always played outside forward, but she's the midfielder for the women's soccer team now.
Yeah. You graduated from UCLA, and you mentioned you were decided after that to look for a new opportunity. What made BYU the right opportunity for you?
Okay, yeah, so my whole career at UCLA, I had 4 different defensive coordinators, so UCLA just kind of brings coaches in, sends them out. It's like a real crazy, it's like a transition spot almost, it feels like. I mean, I love the school, and I would tell the next guy to go there. But for coaches, they are just coming in and out. So every time a new DC came in, they would have a vision for me that the previous DC would like was different. So my first year, I played DN. Second year, inside linebacker. Third year, inside linebacker. Then fourth year, they were trying to move me back to DN. And so I did. And then they wanted me to stay at DN for my fifth. And then they were, I was just like, I'd rather play inside. I've gotten equal amount of time at both. And I think I fit more inside. So I kind of shopped it around with the coaches. And they said I could try it out. But it would just, they saw me more as a DN. So I just decided to do what was best for me. And once I entered the portal, a few schools reached out. I kind of let everybody know I was playing inside linebacker, and the schools that were kind of prominent that really wanted me to play inside was Cal, BYU, and Arizona State. So I kind of, out of those three, I already had like a leaning towards BYU just from me being LDS, and then leaning towards BYU when I was younger. Just so many factors in my life. And then, so I was obviously going to at least visit, see it out, talk to the coaches. And then when I came here, Coach Hill was probably one of the realest coaches I've ever talked to. And a lot of coaches will kind of sugarcoat it to you, tell you what you want to hear. They kind of do some background checks, see what you're looking for, and tell you, you know, like I said, sugarcoating. And Coach Hill just keeps it straight to the point. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is where I see you at. And you're going to have to work for it. And something like that, it just makes me want to be a part of it, because when you don't hold guys or you don't keep guys humble and hold them accountable and make them work for everything they have, it gets a little, things start getting foggy. And I think Coach Hill has a really good way of running things around here, and the way he coaches is amazing, and the way Coach Enna coaches is amazing. I really, basically when I came here, everything, just every box, check, check, check. And I was just sold.
I believe you learned and worked at all of the linebacker spots last year. So which one do you feel most comfortable with now?
Right now, I definitely feel most comfortable at Mac, because we got Isaiah Glasker and
that's middle linebacker, just for the it's for the people who don't know out there.
Yes, Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly to the right and left of me. I couldn't be more comfortable inside the box, making sure everything's taken care of in there, while those dudes go outside and take care of what they take care and do what they do.
Now, last season you played 9 games. You had 11 tackles. Looking back at it now, how do you feel the first season here at BYU went for you?
I definitely, it was definitely. I wouldn't say I did what I wanted to do, but I definitely am going to say that it was a building year. Coach Hill has a very, very complicated and intricate system. And coming in and picking it up immediately is something that I've probably seen almost nobody do. I don't think I've seen anybody come in and pick his system up immediately. Everybody takes time. And it really kept me humble, really kept me working. It made me earn everything that I've gotten. And year two now, I feel really comfortable in the system. I know exactly what they're looking for. I know how they want things done, and it's just a matter of getting it done now.
On your UCLA profile, you said that Fred Warner was the most famous athlete that you admire. Now that you're here at BYU, have you met him?
I actually haven't. Actually, I can't remember. So UCLA is so crazy when it comes to pro athletes. Every single day, no matter if it's practice, workouts, or we're just in there eating, there are pro athletes at the UCLA field for some reason. They keep it open to, like, pro athletes. Yeah. And the weather's so good there that they're just in there all the time. So I want to say that I've met him. But I've met so many linebackers at this point that I couldn't tell you, honestly. But Fred Warner is definitely still my favorite linebacker. If I were to even compare myself to a linebacker, I would say Fred Warner, just physically and makeup and speed, all the genetic and intangibles, I would say me and him have this very similar. And it's kind of funny that I'm here now and he went here. But but even my coach, my old coach at UCLA, that's who he would compare me to anyway. So it's just kind of like almost like a full circle moment, just being where he created his name.
So you have your degree. You've talked about that. You've played 5 years of football. you know, in a roundabout way, you could say, I don't need to play this season. You know, I could move on with my life if I want to. Why choose to come back? Why play one more season?
When I came in last year, there was a lot I wanted to accomplish, and I don't feel like I accomplished that. And I would be not holding myself to my own standard, and I'd be letting myself down if I were to just say, okay, that's it. And knowing Coach Hill's system and how hard it is to pick up, it would be doing my, I would be doing myself an injustice not letting myself see the second season out here.
What are your hopes? What's your dreams for this season? And sometimes, you know, we say, this is what I want to do, and it doesn't quite live up to what you were hoping for. But what's that goal that you have this season? You're like, my final season of college football, this is what I want to do.
I just want to make an impact this year. I want, when people think of 33 or Che or CBS, that he made changes in the game, that he helped the team win. Just, I also want a Big 12 championship and go to the playoffs. So if I can impact the team and help us do that, then that's all I really want.
CBS, I should have just started calling you that from the start.
Yeah, a lot of dudes on the team call me that, just to say it quickly.
Thank you once again to my Practice Chats guest, Che Bryant Strother, or we can call him CBS. I'm Cleon Wall. Ben Hall produced this episode. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.